Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Can you believe it? It's happening. It's really, really happening. I got a text from a friend yesterday, and he said he was on his way to the mall, and he wanted a special prayer of blessing over his life. But he texted me and said, I'm on the way to the mall. And I said, you haven't been listening to me at all, because I've been warning you about this. And then only a couple minutes later, he texted me and said, I turned around, and I'm heading home, Amazon.com. So there you go. Thanks, Matt, for being in my sermon today. I was thinking about some of the great Christmas gifts I've been given, and I've been thinking about some of the great Christmas gifts that I have received. And I was thinking back to when I was in fifth grade. When I was in fifth grade, I was at that transition time in life where, as a young boy, I was transitioning from tidy whities to boxers. Some of us made that leap years ago, and I remember, you know, just because at fifth grade, that was when I realized in the locker room, people were not wearing tighty-whities as often. They were starting to wear boxers, and I thought, I like boxers better than tighty-whities. So I told my mom and dad, I want boxers for Christmas. So my parents got me boxers, and my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, she told me, I didn't really know what they were. I just knew that some guys wore boxers, and my sister told me, boxers, they're like shorts. And in my, you know, fifth grade mind, I heard they're like shorts, so you can wear them like you wear shorts. This is just how gullible I was. So I remember I got my boxers, and I didn't realize you didn't wear tighty-whities under your boxers. So I wore tighty-whities and boxers, and then I put my jeans on. I had layers going on. I got home, and my mom was teaching a Bible study in the living room. So she said, go into the family room and watch cartoons. I think I was watching G.I. Joe. And since boxers are like shorts, you should be able to wear them around the house like you do shorts, even when company is there. So I removed my pants and just had my boxers on, and I was just sitting there watching G.I. Joe's, eating popcorn, when one of my mom's friends decided to come and use the restroom. She had to walk through the room I was in, and I will never forget her face when she turns a corner and sees me in my boxers watching television. She said, oh, sorry. And I was like, why are you so sorry? You're going to the bathroom. It's not a big deal. But that's how gullible I am. And my sister has fooled me several times. I don't think she was intentional with that one. The other time she tricked me was when she told me that those Cadbury eggs, you know those Cadbury eggs, ones with the yolk, they're so good. My sister told me they have real yolk in them. Oh. And so I refused to eat them. So we'd get them for Easter all the time. Who's eating a chocolate-covered real egg yolk? And I would just say, Melissa, you have that. I don't want this thing. I just pass it off. Seriously, it wasn't until I was about 14 or 15 I realized that that wasn't real egg yolk. I know. Pray for a guy right here. So if you try to get me to believe a lie, I will believe it. I will bite hook, line, and sinker. Christmas is here. I hope you are done shopping. My name is Matt. Welcome to Vintage Faith. Glad to have you here today. Today we lit the fourth candle. Thank you, Mary, for doing the reading earlier. We lit the fourth candle of all of our candles, and it was a candle of joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Let me start off by saying this. And this will be the statement that kind of frames our time together, so listen up, pay attention. It says this, your money, your relationships, and your possessions might make you happy, but they'll never give you joy. Only Jesus does that. Amen. Can I say that again? Your money, your relationships, and your possessions might make you happy, but they'll never give you joy. Only Jesus does that. God, would you speak to us today as we look through your word and as we try to understand what you have to say? Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? Would you correct any wrong thinking inside of us today? God, would you realign us under your priorities, not our own priorities? God, we get so consumed and so busy and so stressed out and spread so thin during this season, but that's not your desire. Your desire is that we would be full of joy during this holiday season. So God, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for a family like this where we can share openly and candidly about the challenges and trials of our faith. Jesus, we magnify you and we glorify you. Thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen. Ponder that statement for a second. Your money, your relationships, and your possessions, they might make you happy, but they'll never give you joy. Only Jesus does that. We were created not just to enjoy possessions and enjoy people, but to live our lives in relationship with Jesus. That's where our joy comes from knowing and being known by God. No one and no thing can bring you the type of resolute joy that Jesus brings. My story might be similar to yours, but I lived my first 20 years of my life without a relationship with Jesus. And when I met Jesus, all of a sudden I had this new joy that I'd never known before. And I had been adding things to my life, searching for happiness. I had been adding people and career, and I've been adding income. I've been adding to my life, thinking that it would make me really, really happy. And what I found and what you found is no matter how much adding you do, all those things you think are going to make you happy end up making you feel pretty empty. It wasn't until I met Jesus that I felt full for the first time. When I met Jesus, it was like going to a buffet. I left full. Capital F, capital U, capital L, capital L. I left full. I recently bought a used car, and that was a stressful process. I don't make big decisions very easily, so lots of research, lots of test drives, lots of research, lots of test drives. I test drove a car in the valley, and I really liked it, and then I decided I need to think about it, so I went and I got lunch, I drove it again, I walked around, I drove a couple more cars. Finally, I decided, that's it, that's the car I want. I asked all my friends, I pooled the scope of my people that I trust about cars. Grace gave me the thumbs up. Everything was a go, and I decided that's a car. So I went to the deal and I said, that's it. I want that car. That's a car I want. The one I drove about 6 hours earlier, that's the one I want. So he said, let's go get your paperwork started. So I go into the little cubicle, right? And I'm filling out the paperwork for the loan, which is terrifying. And I'm doing the loan. And as we're doing the documents for the loan, another associate comes by and he says, do you have the keys to that car? And the guy goes, oh yeah, right here. And he goes, yeah, we just sold that. I was like, what? You can't buy my car. But someone had snuck in after me. And so it was stressful. I missed out on that one, but I finally ended up buying a used car. And the purchase of buying a used car, it made me very happy. It really did. Buying my used car made me very happy, temporarily. I bought my used car, and it was only a couple weeks later that something started squeaking that ought not be squeaking. All of a sudden, where'd my happiness go? I was happy until I got the first notice from the bank about what my payment was going to be. The happiness started to wane. As soon as I noticed that scratch on the back that I didn't notice was there before, all of a sudden my happiness started to wane. And I realized that I was not meant to find my happiness in my new used car. I could never find my happiness. I could never find my fulfillment in it. And you've done the same thing, whether it's been a car, a home, or a relationship. You thought this thing would complete you and make you happy, but really, in the end, when you figured out how blemished, how many issues it was, how much work it was going to be maintained, your happiness started to erode. The joy and the happiness of me owning my first used car slowly started to wane as I realized it wasn't everything that it was cracked up to be. It wasn't perfect. Jesus is perfect. And when I find my happiness in the joy that comes from being known and knowing Jesus, that joy is a joy that is greater and deeper than any sort of happiness this world could ever offer. The happiness of this world, it's like a fake hamburger made out of all sorts of things that aren't meat. Tofu burger thing or whatever you know, garden burger. It appears to be like a real burger, but it is not clearly a real burger. And the things that we think are supposed to make us happiest and full in this world end up being like a facade, like a veneer. They're like a mirage. And as soon as you think you've achieved and you've pursued and you found happiness, it's just, you swing and it's just not there anymore. The things of this earth, and there's a reason for it. The things of this earth were never meant to make you happy. You and I were meant to find our joy in Jesus, and only in Jesus. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent on circumstances, but joy isn't. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not the happiness of the Lord that is our strength, because joy is deeper. This is why the psalmist, he doesn't say, restore unto me the happiness of my salvation. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, because joy is deeper. I think of joy is like the hot magnum inside the middle of the earth. It's like that deep, deep drawing. It's strong, it's fierce, versus just the clouds that are around us right now. Joy is deeper. Joy is formative in our lives, and happiness just comes and goes. Your happiness, it can fluctuate, but your joy in the Lord, it can be, and it should be, consistent, no matter what the situation. Joy is resolute, and it's strong, and it's stable through any and every season of life. I got this quote from the Bible Project, and it says this: joy is an attitude God's people adopt, not because of happy circumstances, but because of their hope in God's love and promises. Let me say that again. Joy is an attitude God's people adopt, not because of happy circumstances, because of their hope in God's love and promises. So Jesus didn't come to bring us happiness, but to bring us something fuller, something stronger, something more resolute. Jesus came to bring us joy. This is why adding anything to your life other than Jesus will offer you temporary happiness, but it'll leave you more empty in the end. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Everyone say joy like you mean it. Say joy.
Joy.
Thank you, Mary. Where's Mary? Hi, Mary. Thank you for reading earlier. Such a great gift to have you with us today. Mary read the scripture, and I'll read it, and I can't do as good a job as she did. But let me read the scripture that we started our service off with. It was Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Did you hear that? Jesus' arrival was good news of great joy for all the people. Jesus didn't arrive for the people that pray before their meals. Jesus didn't just arrive for the people that don't swear or do drugs or talk to people that do. Jesus didn't just come to people who say Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays. Jesus came for all the people.
Amen.
Don't make me teach stuff that's not in my notes. I will go there. Later on, Jesus came to be a light to Gentiles and Jews alike. Jesus came for everybody. Okay, don't you've pushed all my buttons now. Jesus came for your ex-husband, your ex-wife, your son, your daughter, your landlord, your boss, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your co-worker, everybody. Jesus came for everybody. This is good news for everybody. I don't care how much you hate the people I just listed. Jesus came for them. It's good news for them. It's great joy for everybody.
Come on, it's good.
I had some caffeine today, and you're going to see it. The good news and the great joy of Jesus is for all the people, everybody. There is nobody that the good news of Jesus isn't relevant to.
Yeah, that's so good.
Last week, we learned about how Jesus brought us peace. And today, we learned about how Jesus has come to bring us joy. The idea that God has joy for us isn't just specific to this one text you're reading about. The idea that God has come to give us joy, it's actually throughout the whole Bible. And I was looking at a section of scripture. You remember when the Israelites are in captivity in Egypt? There's a story where the Israelites are in captivity. They're slaves to their Egyptian rulers. They're in captivity. Their freedoms have been taken away. And Moses rises up. And what does Moses do? Moses leads the people out of their captivity and into their wandering and on their journey to the promised land. And there's a scripture in the psalmist. He's talking about this exodus that we learn about in the Old Testament. And in the Psalms, it says this about their departure. And these are really profound words. This is what it says in Psalm 105, verse 43. "So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing." Can you picture all these Israelites walking out of Egypt after all the plagues, all the drama, and they walk out singing with joy? They're leaving their oppression, and they're in this season of uncertainty. Do you know joy can still be with you even though you're uncertain about what's going on? See, this is what I love about this. It doesn't say that he brought out his people and they were slightly confused, but they felt joy when they entered the promised land. See, there could be joy in the most confusing seasons of life.
Yeah.
Because joy is thicker, it's deeper, it's richer than happiness.
Right.
Leaving oppression, heading into uncertainty is a season of joy for those of us who put our faith in God. This teaches us the joy that God gives us isn't defined by our struggles or our circumstances. The joy that God has for each of us, it's because we have put our hope in a future certainty that God will make all things work out to the good of those who love him. I want to be a person like that. It's so easy to have lots of joy when things are going well, right? It's so easy to have lots of joy when the doctors are telling you the news you want to hear. It's so easy to have lots of joy when you look at your bank account and there's more money in there than you expected. That never happened to me. But we can try to find joy all around us, but the real joy, deep joy, it comes from knowing and being known by God. Even when life is uncertain, I want to have joy. Because happiness just comes and goes. Happiness is like waves. They just come and go into your life and out of your life. But joy, that deep resolve, is something that God gives each of us. The prophet Isaiah is talking and he's anticipating that this future king is coming. And he says this about this future king, this future reign that will happen here on earth. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11, it says this: "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." When Jesus comes, he comes to bring us everlasting joy. Not temporary joy, not just a band-aid of joy, everlasting joy. In the Old Testament, it's clear that God's plan of redemption carries with it a message of union, but also of joy. So when I think about the angel coming and speaking to the people, saying that this is good news and great joy, we're just reminded that Jesus is the fulfillment of what God always desired in the Old Testament, that there would be a time when a rescuer would come to reunite you and I with creation and with Creator, but he'd also come to bring us joy. I need some joy in my life, don't you? Verse 10, it says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The good news is that Jesus has reunited us with God. And we have resolute joy in this fact and his promises. It is so easy to get consumed during this holiday season and get so focused on just the pursuit of happiness. I get my kids nice gifts because I want to make them happy. I am looking forward to gifts because I want to be happy. But what's greater than happiness is joy. And we could get so sidelined, so distracted by the pursuit of happiness that we miss that Jesus has come to give us joy. And it's deep joy. It's rich joy. It's joy that will sustain you through every trial, every circumstance, every situation. It's the joy of Jesus that will get you through the fact that your marriage is falling apart. It's the joy of Jesus that will sustain you. I tell you what, I need God's joy to flood over my life in a brand new way. It would be so easy this holiday season to miss the reason of the season. It'd be so easy to get overwhelmed with just the pursuit of making people happy and being happy ourselves and miss the fact that Jesus wants to give us joy. One great way to refocus our lives around Jesus is it's his birthday. One of our traditions, and I think Anna's coming over for Christmas with us this year, she's baking a birthday cake. Isn't that a clever way to remind us why we do this season that we do? And I love cake, so it's not a big deal. But what a great reminder that as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating Jesus' arrival. And when Jesus arrived, joy arrived. John 15 tells us that joy is found in abiding in Christ. This is one of my favorite sections of scripture. John chapter 15 talks about the vine dresser and the vines and the pruning that goes by and the fruit of the life that we should have. And it makes me think of like wineries and vineyards. And God is the great gardener. And he delicately prunes us. And that can be really difficult. Right? Sometimes God exposes parts of our lives that we don't need anymore, and he goes, "This is not helping you anymore. And because of the greater fruitfulness I have for you, you're going to have to experience some challenges. And because of the fruitfulness I desire for you, some things have to get cut back in your life." And that is because God is a good, good father. He says, "I want you to be fruitful, and if you're going to be fruitful, some things have got to go." He's a good dad. And when we abide in Christ, it says in John chapter 15 that as we abide in Christ, his joy is made complete in us. And so we run away from pruning opportunities. We run away from God's correction, but it's his correction and it's his pruning that actually creates us to be more fruitful for him. Galatians chapter 5, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, you know what they are, they're love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of those of us that are following Jesus. My hope is that these fruit become more obvious in 2019 and then in 2018. Man, I want to be more loving and more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more good, more faithful, gentler, more better at grammar. See what I did there? This Christmas, I simply speak joy over your life. Joy that is deeper and richer than anything you could ever imagine. Joy that helps you see past the worries, the stresses, the anxieties, and you see that Jesus is here for you. Can I just pray joy over your life today? God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I believe even right now that you would just fill us up with joy and gratitude, that something would well up inside of our spirits where we would stop thinking about and being overwhelmed and consumed with our pursuit of personal happiness. But God, we thank you that you are the giver of great joy. As we abide in you, as we find our hope, our security, our comfort in you, God, you would give us joy. God, this year, this next year, 2019, it's going to be filled with challenges and trials. And God, I pray that you would sustain us through all of them. God, there are challenges and pain and victories ahead. And God, we give you all the glory for the good things you want to do inside of our lives. Because Jesus, you are our joy. Will you say that with me? Jesus, you are my joy. Jesus, you are my joy. Amen.